From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you once again and welcoming you to another Let the Bible Speak program. Today we complete our study of Psalm 138, verse 6, on the subject of the Lord's regard for the humble and His rejection of the haughty. Remember that the text says, Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. Thus far, we have seen that the psalmist highlights three great truths: the majestic greatness of the Lord, the merciful goodness of the Lord, and finally, the measureless gulf between the Lord and the proud. Having dealt with these truths, the text, as we shall see, provides a powerful call for us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. So stay with us today as we look into Psalm 138, verse 6, one more time. Before we do so, let me again mention our special offer of my booklet, Election and Reprobation. We're sending this out free of charge to those who request it. As I said yesterday, we believe that this is an important issue, one in which there's a lot of bitter feeling among Bible believers, and one in which, if it's ever discussed, doesn't generate much light, really. It's usually a matter of ungodly heat. Now, this booklet arose out of a pastoral study of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, and we believe that it will challenge you to think biblically and deeply, but it will also encourage you to evangelize freely. So make sure to write or call and get your copy today. You can write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-5827 or 866-877-LTBS. And now, here is Boaz Boone to sing, Jesus is dearer than all to me.
Jesus is my loving Savior, He is so precious to me. Oh, how I love and adore Him, for all His mercy so free. When I was lost on the mountains, barren and dark and cold, He sought a sheep that was straying.
Jesus, nearer than all to me.
The Episcopal Church is deeply divided these days. In a way, this is not surprising. The utterly unscriptural, even anti-scriptural positions adopted by World Episcopalianism should cause Bible believers in that communion to rise up and get out of such an ungodly amalgamation. The fact that some have done so is therefore to be welcomed. What's shocking is that so few have done so. It appears that the majority have hunkered down and are content to stay in their denomination, no matter how far it strays from the faith of the gospel. A small church in Virginia has joined the small number of churches that have left the Episcopal Church. The issue that has proved too much for some Episcopalians was the election and consecration of Gene Robinson, an avowed sodomite. The minister of the Virginia Church, whom Episcopalians will insist quite unbiblically on calling a priest, stated, "The dissonance between the leadership of the Episcopal Church and the gospel it is preaching and the values we are sharing with our neighbors and our children is so great that it has become a drag on our mission." I would say that it certainly has. I could have wished that the minister had expressed himself in terms of his concern for the glory of Christ and the scriptural integrity of the gospel, rather in what sound to be merely pragmatic terms. However, I'm glad that he and his church decided that the Episcopal Church had gone too far and that it was time for them to separate in obedience to God. The separating Virginia Church has elected to join the Anglican Church of Uganda. That's right, Uganda, as in Africa. Now here's an ironic thing. Not too long ago, the West sent missionaries to Africa. Now the Africans are having to evangelize those who so recently were sending missionaries to them. It's noteworthy that an international panel of bishops are the ones who are making the running on the subject of actually separating from the apostasy of American Episcopalianism. Conservative American Episcopalian leaders may like to join them, but are hindered by the fact that they would in most cases lose their local church property to the denomination. The longer they stay in the denomination, the more chance they will come to terms with the sellout of their faith. At least that's what denominational leaders seem to think, and there is little reason to think otherwise. Episcopalians and everybody else need to recognize that separation from apostasy is a matter of biblical principle. It's mandated by the Word of God, even if it costs us buildings and other trappings of earthly wealth. Furthermore, separation should be because of the gospel. Now, I believe that electing an avowed sodomite as a bishop is certainly an attack on the gospel, but it appears to me that people who have sat for decades in a denomination that has consistently denied major parts of Scripture and has been to the fore in seeking union with the Church of Rome, can hardly be looked on as stalwart defenders of the Christian faith. Perhaps some of them are learning their lesson, and at last are beginning to take a stand for God. And that's something we all must do. Let me ask you, are you doing so? Or are you putting denomination, or anything else, above loyalty to Christ and his gospel. I trust that every Christian hearing me today will be able to say with Paul, as he wrote to the Philippians, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Today we come to the third of the three great truths that I listed at the top of the broadcast from our text in Psalm 138, verse 6. That third point was the measureless gulf between the Lord and the proud. The psalmist says, the proud he knoweth afar off. Now this is a solemn statement, and as we now turn to God's word, I think you'll find it's even more solemn than you may think at first sight. The text ends on a very somber note, as it deals with the measureless gulf between the Lord and the proud. He knoweth the proud afar off. He knows the proud from a distance. If the humble here is the man who has been brought to the conviction of sin, then the proud is the high and the haughty one who refuses to see himself as a fallen, base and needy sinner. He's the haughty one who's so full of his self-esteem that he has confidence in his own merit before God. He is too proud to take the sinner's place, but he rejects the gospel of God's grace and of Christ's blood atonement, despises those who live by the gospel that they have received by faith. And we read that the Lord rejects all such. Now I want you to understand this. He knows them and he sees them, even when they think he doesn't. In Psalm 10 verse 11, we read of this haughty one that he has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. How many of you, I wonder, want you to take stock of your life this morning? How many of you in reality have been living your life that way?
God will never see this. So often said, God has bigger and better things to look after than to worry about what I'm doing. That's the word of the proud. But the Lord still sees them and He still knows them, even when they think He doesn't. He takes note of them and He looks upon them at a distance with scorn and with contempt. He scorneth the scorner. It's a very strong statement. It's not just that He's grieved at the scorning of the scorner. He scorneth the scorner. As Proverbs chapter 1 tells us, using wisdom as, in many ways, a synonym for Christ. He will laugh at their calamity, mock when their fear cometh. Those are strong words, in many ways terrible words. Words calculated to awaken the haughtiest heart out of its proud and arrogant hatred of God's grace. God scorneth the scorner. He opposes Himself to them. And sooner or later, He will abase the haughty. And finally, will banish him to outer darkness. And if ever you want to understand the full and final meaning of the statement, the proud he knows from a distance, just consider the phrase, outer darkness. Darkness, eternally, absolutely, and irreversibly alienated from God. The proud in hell, God knows them. God judges them. It is God who damns them. And He knows them eternally from a distance. As I said at the beginning, the Holy Spirit makes a whole lot of the truth of this text throughout the Scripture. And I hope that you'll make a whole lot of it too. I hope that you'll heed it well. You see, we're dealing with the everlasting God, the Lord. Nothing tells your state, whether you're humble or whether you're haughty, as clearly as your attitude to God and to His dear Son. And nothing is so fraught with eternal consequences. When Pilate said, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" His words carried an awful lot more meaning than he could ever have imagined. Pilate was thinking in terms of an instantaneous decision as to the immediate fate of two prisoners before him. He was not thinking of his relationship eternally to the Savior of the world. But his words raised that question, "What shall I do with Jesus?" And eternal consequences hang upon the attitude of the soul to Christ. Bring it right down to the most simple statements possible. Every man, woman, and boy and girl here is either humbled under the mighty hand of God to feel his sin, cry out for mercy, "God be merciful to me, the sinner," or is haughty, "What need have I of Christ? What hurry have I to get to Christ?" Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. For listen, though the Lord be high, he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he will always know from a distance. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Let us all pray. In just a moment, the meeting will be over, and you will be free to leave. I wonder where you stand in relation to this text, and I wonder where you stand in relation to this great and glorious God. Are you presenting him with some mean, trivial, sinful thing as the basis for your acceptance, the works of your hands, the religion of your imagination? Or have you come to the Lamb of God to take him as your Savior and your Lord? I trust today that the Lord will indeed bring you to humility, to call upon him for mercy, and then to give him the best of your life in humble service, and you will live and die and spend eternity in the glorious fulfillment of this text, that the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, our exalted God, will keep his eye right upon you. If you're not saved, it's time to be saved. The Bible commands you to repent and be converted. We call you to Christ. If I can help you in the things of God, I invite you to remain and let me open the scriptures with you. Mr. Bramer, I will be here to help you, and we'll be happy to point you Christward. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. We pray that thou wilt produce fruit for it in every life. And God grant that thou wilt answer the petition we made at the beginning of this service and make thy word a saving word, a sanctifying word, and a satisfying portion for every believer here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.